Welcome to Pet Chat on 2NURFM. Greg Richard joined by Dr. Fiona and Cheryl Shawland.
How are you, Greg?
Very good. It's been a while since I've been.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll keep you on your toes.
Oh, great.
That's Pet Chat.
Pet Chat, exactly right.
Pet Chat it is. And hopefully we get lots of calls today, Greg.
Hopefully we do. Now, you've got your brooch, which I've been told I've got to mention.
Yes.
It looks a bit musical.
It is musical. We're going to be talking about music and using music to relax your pets.
Oh, I thought you were going to have some notes for me as well.
Oh, of course, I will.
So we've got Terry from Anna Bay. He's got a question about gut bacteria in dogs. Afternoon, Terry.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, Terry, how can we help?
I'm just interested. I've had a rescue dog for now for just on 5 months. She's just approaching 4 years old.
Yeah.
Staffy Cross, I think, Bull Arab or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just interested in gut bacteria and what signs the dog may show of an imbalance.
Yeah, okay.
I was just interested because I was just flicking through Facebook and had something on behaviours of dogs and gut bacteria, and I just wanted to make sure.
Well,
they're giving correct information, yes.
Sure, Terry. Well, I guess my first comment is I feel like someone with a veterinary degree is probably more able to answer your question than someone on Facebook. So congratulations on calling up for information is step one.
Yeah, that's the reason I'm doing it. It's mainly because some of the behaviours they showed my dog has.
Yeah, okay. I think Terry, my first comment would be there's so much about the gut biome that we don't know that applies to people, and it also applies to our pets.
Yes.
There is a lot of research at the moment going into supporting good bacteria within the gut and the overall health that has for the pet. I know in people they're also linking a whole heap of gut health bits and pieces to mental health as well. So I think there's probably merit to that. I guess in terms of things that your dog is showing that could be linked to an abnormal or an imbalanced biome, I don't think we can comment on the behaviour side of it at all yet. My thoughts would be if you're seeing vomiting or diarrhea or loose stools, that would certainly be an indicator that we've got an abnormal balance of gut bacteria. Tell me more about what your dog's doing that you think could be linked.
Okay, what they showed was the dog, before I got the dog, I googled a little bit about it. They're a bit prone to allergies.
Yes.
And I've battled with food selections and if I'm on the right track, I think we've quietened some of the scratching and the irritable areas. But there was things like licking paws, and nose rubbing, like actually head on the ground, nose between paws.
So sort of out itchy, scratchy rubbing, that sort of thing?
Yes. I wasn't sure whether itchy, scratchy is related to bad imbalanced gut bacteria either.
No, you're right. Keep going.
Yeah, that was my interest.
Your main concern,
Before I do anything about it, because obviously they were selling a product as well, you know.
Of course, yeah. Look, you're right with Staffy and Staffy Crosses having allergy-related symptoms. They certainly are overrepresented. If your dog's showing those sorts of signs, rather than thinking there's a gut bacteria imbalance, my thoughts go much more quickly towards allergies and exposure to allergens. So think, you know, a person with hay fever, they don't have to have dandelions growing in their backyard, but if you've got dandelions coming in on the breeze, on the wind from 30, 40 k's away, you can show you symptoms of allergies.
Yep.
So it can be a little bit harder to control. Sometimes diet does play a role, but it's more to do with our protein sources. So chicken and beef are actually your two most common allergens in pets and dogs. So the first thing I'd be suggesting you do if you're wanting to try and sort of trial it yourself is look for food without beef and chicken in it. And that involves reading the ingredient panel, not just looking on the front of the packet.
Yeah, for sure. Biscuits, I've tried to give good range of Vickies, and at present they have got, I think it's kangaroo and beef, I think, in it.
Okay.
But because when I got her, she was quite, I've had it at the event, she was quite plucked up in the teeth, you know.
Oh, okay, yes.
So I sort of started, that she doesn't chew, like she was never introduced to bones or anything, chewing on toys or anything, so she's unaware of any of that. I've tried to teach it to her. So I just got her on chicken carcass to see whether that would clear her teeth.
Help her teeth.
That was on vet advice, mind you.
Yeah, sure.
So basically her main diet isn't chicken, but there is a little bit of chicken and the odd chicken neck goes in there, you know, for the same purpose of trying to clear the teeth.
Clean her teeth.
Bit.
Yeah. Look, I guess if what we often recommend to people is doing what we call a diet trial, okay, which for 6 to 8 weeks you're extremely strict with the diet, with that chicken and beef and or other things if your vet has that advice. But by being super strict on it for that 6 to 8 weeks, you can really determine, okay, has this made a difference in the itching, scratching, licking or not? And if it hasn't, then your vet's certainly got plenty of other options and suggestions up their sleeve. But I'd be going down the route of allergies and cutting out those protein sources before worrying too much about your different gut bacteria.
Okay, yeah. That's fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Thanks so much for the call, Terry.
Yeah, no problems. Thank you.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Terry. We've got Heather from Barnsley, and she's got a 15-year-old dog. It's, well, doesn't smell great and needs washing daily.
Hi, Heather.
Hello, how are you?
Well, thank you. How can we help today?
My poodle, he's 15 and a half year old.
Yeah.
And he eats well. He runs, and he's really good for his age, other than being deaf and going blind. But he's it's like a leaky butt, and doesn't smell like dog feces. It's a terrible smell.
Okay, is he urinary incontinent? Do you know, Heather?
No, he holds his urine all night, and he goes out there for nearly a minute for do a wee.
Okay,
every morning.
So is it poo that then? Do you think?
No, because he does a normal poo.
Okay,
and it's just I don't know, it just sort of leaks out of his bum.
Okay, all right. My first thought, Heather, and you describe it as smelling quite bad.
Yeah, it's a real awful smell.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. What it probably is something called an anal gland discharge. So they have two little glands either side of their bottom, and the job of those glands is to produce a really feral, disgusting, smelly discharge. And it sounds like your little puppy's, maybe his glands are just discharging very frequently. Mm. Has a vet checked him at all recently, Heather?
No, I haven't been to the vet.
No, okay.
Not yet.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess if it's concerning you and you think it's something that's repetitive and not going away, it probably is worth a checkup, only because in case they're infected and he doesn't actually need some antibiotics.
Okay.
But from your description, I suspect it probably is the anal sac discharge that's causing the smell.
So will it go away, will it?
If it's due to an infection and we get rid of the infection, then it would do. If it's due to some other reason, maybe a dysfunctional anal sac or something like that, there might be other advice that your vet can give you. But it could be something really easy to fix, Heather, so I'd definitely be encouraging you to take him to your local vet and getting them to check it out.
Okay, because I've heard you squeeze him, but I couldn't squeeze him. He'd bite me.
Yeah, it's not something I recommend people to do unless they really do know what they're doing, because there is a bit of a technique to it.
Oh, okay. Right.
And I don't want him hurting you, so, yeah, best to seek...
Oh, he's bitten me before.
Yeah.
Crazy old bugger.
Best to seek professional advice, Heather. That would be my suggestion. But I'm glad to hear at his age that he's got lots of things going for him still.
Oh, he's good. I don't know. Another 5 years out of me.
He's hoping. Thanks for the call, Heather.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
See you later.
Cheers, thanks, Sarah. It's Pet Chat on 2 and UR FM. If you've got any questions, 4921 6216, could you just hang some air freshener or something? Have, the dog,
I'll tell you what, when you smell anal sac discharge, Greg, yep, then you tell me if you think an air freshener little disc is going to make it better.
Well, you might need more than one.
They're pretty disgusting. Yeah. They often cause nothing but problems in our cats and dogs, but they have a very distinctive, disgusting smell. Yep.
Sort of like sardines left in the sun for about 2 weeks and then you sniff it. It's pretty gross, Greg.
Right. Mm. Yeah. I just, the name as well.
Yeah.
What is it? Anal sac discharge?
Yeah.
What a name. Oh, well, I hope you're enjoying your lunch, Ellen. Turn your RFM. If you've got any questions for us, you can give us a call. A little reminder, probably should have pointed out this a little bit earlier, that every caller goes in the draw to win a pet food voucher as well. So just bear that in mind. We'll announce the winner right at the, I would imagine, right at the very end. That's how things work, doesn't it?
Yep. Usually, yes.
Rightio.
We can mix it up, but that's usually the most successful way of doing it.
Rightio. We'll wait to the very end.
That gives everybody an opportunity to call and win.
Exactly right. Because if we did it now, people who ring after that won't have the opportunity.
That's right.
Music for pets.
Oh, look, this is a great topic, I think, because often we don't realise that our pets can be really anxious, really stressed, even in our own home environment. So let's talk about cats first and trying to get them to relax. Cats tend to be pretty highly stressed, even in their own home. Some cats, particularly if there's more than one cat in the family, can be suffering a bit. So there's some things that you can do to help with playing music. Now, don't think about playing your own music to them. That's not what they're going to like. Cats have really acute hearing that's very different than ours. So they tend to like different sounds and more things of nature than what we realise. So cats like to hear sounds that mimic themselves. So meowing and purring are sounds that they like. Now, you can go on and download some really great cat music. And if you're playing that, the cat will often settle. So they just tend to like different tones. So they like low tones and not high-pitched tones. And if you download that music and play it for your cat, it's going to be really good. You're laughing at me, Greg, aren't you?
Yes. Okay. Didn't realise there was a whole genre for cat music.
There is.
I'm intrigued, Cheryl.
And it's especially tailored to their auditory preferences, so not something that we like. And again, for the cat, what the cat likes, the dog doesn't necessarily like. So dogs also have genres that they prefer. So you think, what is it? Okay, it's not going to be hard rock. It's not going to be sort of all of those things. But it is two things. Classical is the preference, and then reggae, because they have
done. Wow, that's so cool.
Reggae has been proven in a university in Glasgow to calm dogs from whining and barking.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? So the tones of reggae are actually very similar to a lot of classical music. So if you're playing classical music for dogs, now don't go and get the 1812 overture because, you know, we've got 16 cannons that are going to go off. And what's going to happen with that? And they're real cannons in that too.
Yeah, wow.
So what's going to happen? Those dogs...
I missed the studio when they recorded it.
You did it. Boom!
There it goes.
And, you know, on that, it's actually the anniversary of the release of that back in the day, the 1812 Overture.
Well, there you go.
There you go. I heard that on the morning show.
Fair enough.
Were you paying attention?
No, I was not.
But anyway, so if you're playing things like, you know, music like the Handel's Water Music, you know, things that are really peaceful, the Four Seasons is usually the one that they play in kennels and pounds, particularly where they are piping music through just to keep that, you know, the calm ambience for the dogs, because they need something to reduce those stress levels. And if you watch when a dog is actually, you know, sort of really starting to chill out, you'll notice that their pupils tend to, and the same with cats, their pupils tend to get smaller and smaller. So it's almost like an opioid, you know, where their brain, their nervous system is starting
to just
relax down. So try it, you know, go and make your own playlist for your dog and your cat, play it and see the results that can happen, because I just think it's so fascinating. You know, we often put on our own music, you know, it could be your spa music and your relaxing music just to take the chill down a bit.
Yep.
But if you're into music in a big way, you know, don't play it too loud, because your pets aren't going to enjoy your music blaring out. So you need to be mindful of when you've got animals at home, but certainly giving it a go. But it is documented well that animals respond very well to music. So find the genre that they like and then go with that.
When you said Four Seasons, you didn't mean the band, the Four Seasons.
No, no, I mean the Four Seasons by Handel.
Because I could imagine the dogs just howling at her. So oh, what a night, just in the corner. I don't think it's going to get
Vivaldi, Vivaldi, not Handel.
Vivaldi.
Yeah, Vivaldi, yes. So, yes, the water music is by Handel. That's another good one for pets to have.
Rightio.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's sorted.
That's fascinating. I'd love to hear, clients or listeners give it a go.
Yeah.
And, let us know what they think.
And what
the reggae one got me.
Yeah. I mean, what have you got to lose, right? It could really, really help your pet, and you get to listen to good music at the same time.
Yeah. So the reason that the reggae moves, it's slow tempo and it's calm, and that's just what the dogs need. You know, and the dogs that are barking and whining, they need to be chilled down, and how we do it. Also for separation anxiety as well. Separation anxiety, if you get a little playlist together and put it on, but don't just put it on when you're about to leave. You need to be putting it on, you know, during the course of the day, so that the pet gets used to this is a chill time. I lay on my mat and this is great. And then the dog can actually make a bit more of a relaxed situation when the music's on, and then learn to chill when you go out. So that would be good to hear if people have success with that too.
I actually had a few friends I played trivia with, and they had to leave early because their neighbours rang them and said, "Your dog is howling and crying. Can you please come back and sort it out?"
Yeah. Maybe they should try some reggae for their dog.
Well, my suggestion was record your voice and just have them chatting.
There's heaps of apps and different programs and computer bits and pieces that you can get, like two-way cameras and things. So you can see and hear the dog, and then the dog can, you can sort of talk back into it.
My daughter did that.
I just reckon it'd mess with the dog's head though.
Yeah.
Because they can hear you, but they can't find you. So depending on the dog, that maybe you might make it worse rather than better.
I might have to re-dig that advice then, just take that back and go, don't do that. Put some reggae on.
Yeah, maybe.
About midday and let them sit with reggae for a whole afternoon.
Yeah, a lot of people leave the radio or the TV on when they go out as white noise in their homes for their pets. But I don't know if that necessarily works. It probably makes them think that the dog is listening. But my daughter's got a standard poodle and it was barking. So she talked through the ring camera and, said, "Hey, Vienna, don't do that." And then that just tripped Vienna off. She was like looking for where are they? So I don't know if talking to them is a good idea when you're not around.
Yeah, I reckon it would be very dog specific.
Yes.
Might have some dogs that it would work well for and others that it really wouldn't, and it might be a bit of a trial and error, I reckon.
So I'd back to classical, back to reggae, and everyone's happy.
And I imagine with cats, like wave music wouldn't be great. people have put waves like the ocean hitting for the relaxation, but I don't think it'd be great for cats.
Because they don't like the water?
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
Well, it depends. If the cat's thinking about it from that perspective. Mm. You might think the waves is like water, but they might just like the sound. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're not cats.
Test it, yeah.
I was also going to hope you were going to talk about pets playing instruments, but not the case.
Oh, no. Sorry, Greg. I'll have to do that another time.
I could be dogs on the keyboards next week.
Yeah. What about when we do hear people playing different sounds? You've ever noticed that, if someone's learning the violin, the dog will start howling, or if there's a siren, the dog will start howling. So that must be that it's really auditory, not good for them. Like, oh, my goodness, I've got to howl. That's just, mournful music.
What a critic if you're learning to play the violin and your dog's just howling at you.
I reckon there'd be lots of people in the household that wouldn't be thrilled at that situation.
Oh, it brings me back to my recorder days in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Those horrific music lessons with a recorder.
Yes, I remember my brother learning the violin when he was in primary school, and you'd just be like,
cringe.
Like, what is it?
Chalk.
Nails down the blackboard type. Yeah.
Well, if you started howling at him, you might have stopped him.
Maybe. Didn't occur to me at the time.
Mm-hmm. And we'll just get to Joe through Lemon Tree Passage in just a moment, but it's going to be a music question, which is going to be very interesting to see what it is.
Mm.
Joe, are you there? I'm still waiting on Joe, so we can have a quick look at our... Hang on, there she is. Joe's back on with us. Afternoon, Joe.
Afternoon.
Hi, Joe. You've got some comments for us.
Yes. In reference to music for dogs...
Yes.
My daughter has got a 12-week-old Jack Russell.
Yeah.
And my son-in-law got online to find some music to, help... when they're not around, and Ripley, she actually enjoys piano music.
Fantastic. Do you know what she does when they play?
Goes to bed.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And so they feel it really helps her?
They feel it helps her. They've started leaving her on her own so that she gets used to being on her own.
Yes.
Because they both work from home. And, when they went down for dinner the other night, they could check the cameras and she was in bed sound asleep with the piano music playing.
That's fantastic. I assume someone wasn't at home playing the piano music for her.
No. On her, I don't know what they use these days, but like a CD player, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Really good to hear and hopefully, helpful for our listeners as well, something to give it a go, because I really think it is underutilised.
I have to agree with you because when my daughter told me, I laughed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Greg did, you know.
Well played, Jo.
Yeah, I can relate to that. But, they've proven, and she's still only a very young puppy. So,
But the benefit of that now, Jo, is if the puppy has a positive, relaxing association with the music, as Cheryl was saying, it then becomes a tool that owners have to help calm their pets and in situations where they can't be there. So, that's fantastic. Thanks so much, Jo.
And it's sort of
not a problem.
It's a simple, solution to a lot of problems, and it also gives you some enrichment for their lives as well. Yeah,
well,
good on you.
Expensive as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great, Jo.
No worries. Have a lovely day,
ladies. You too. See you later.
And we've got our dog and pet of the week. And Hef is first up.
Hef the dog, yes. Hef is a 6-year-old male Staffy Cross. Sounds like he had a bit of a tough, rough start to life, but he's been taken into care and has been taught all sorts of things during his time in foster care. He's learnt to sit and stay and lay down and lay onto his bed and that sort of thing. So it sounds like he's got some brains behind him. But he does come with a couple of issues, which, sometimes happens. But he'll need a house with a very big, strong fence, as he is prone to escaping if he's left alone by himself. So certainly keep that in mind.
He might need some reggae with him as well.
Yes, we could try the reggae. Great thought. so he'd like some people to be around most of the time, and he hasn't been tested with. He hasn't been tested with pocket pets, or we think he hasn't been tested with pocket pets. Probably best not high prey drive. There we are. Yep. Not suited for pocket pets. So he's got some brains behind him. He definitely needs a bit of effort from his new owners to put in with some training and things like that, but I think he's got a heart of gold and plenty of love to give.
It's probably going to be a bit of patience with him as well.
Definitely.
The start he was, well, I don't want to bring up what it is, but people can see what happened to him on toanyourrfm.com. But
yeah, it's you never quite know with, when you adopt a pet, what their background is. So slow, steady, positive, gentle, definitely not not anything heavy-handed or rough or abrupt, because that might be a bit scary.
Rightio. And we'll head to our cat of the week, which is Theodore.
Theodore's a 3-year-old tabby male. It's got some unique markings and he's being called a quirky, big-hearted boy with an even bigger appetite. So he does sound pretty cute, lots of personality, loves to play with his toys and does zoomies even as well. Never a dull moment with Theo around, but he is a cuddle buddy. So if you're after a cat that wants to curl up with you, whether it's on the couch or at night, Theo might very well be your cat. He's also had a bit of a rough start to life. So again, slow, steady, patient, understanding, and probably best with older kids is the comment. But he's also, it'd be great for someone, I reckon.
Do you have any tips or anything for when you do get a rescue dog or a cat, what first things to do when you bring them in the home, just to sort of ease them in?
Certainly, the less stimulation, the better. So if you've got 17 kids and the grandparents and the auntie and uncle and the music going in the background and the doorbell going, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yep.
So, quiet, calm, slow, let them approach you rather than everyone wanting hugs at the same time, which you should never ever do with a new pet. Let them come up to you, let them do everything in their own time, slow and steady.
Right. I remember ages ago when we were kids, we got a rescue dog, and it was just me and my brother. If we stood up, it went absolutely mental at us. So we had to crawl around the dog till she got used to us to stand up and slowly get to stand up.
Well, that's very good of you and your sibling to give him the time and effort that was required. But yeah, you don't know the background. You don't know their history. Yep. So slow and gentle.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.